Blog Talk Radio.
His perfect salvation too.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to all my precious brothers and sisters. That was Rosemary Simons singing the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. What a beautiful rendition of that wonderful hymn. And that's what God encourages us to do every day, whether you're saved or unsaved. You know, we encourage unsaved people to look to Jesus for salvation. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who look upon him would be healed and saved. There's a hymn. There's a hymn that goes by that scripture verse, Look and Live. That's an awesome hymn, Look and Live. And it points to Jesus' words that he must be lifted up just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So whether you're unsaved or saved, even those of us who are saved, we need to look to Jesus every day. He's our source of inspiration, our source of life, our source of encouragement. Well, we're looking at Isaiah 41:10 and the promise where God, one of God's I wills, which is his first I will strengthen thee. Now, I have a little birdie who talks to me a whole lot, and the little birdie asked me, where is the Monday manna from heaven? And I had to explain to my little birdie that because of our situation on Sunday where I wasn't able to record the Sunday school lesson, I had to push Sunday school to Monday. So I'm sure that some of you are asking, where is the Monday daily manna? And, of course, Monday was done on Tuesday, and the Tuesday lesson was done yesterday. And so we're going to go until Saturday, okay? I know that manna is Monday through Friday, but that little glitch, that little situation caused me to start the manna on Tuesday and end it on Saturday rather than start it on Monday and end it on Friday. So for those of you who are asking the same question as my beloved little birdie, that's the answer. So we're looking at Isaiah 41:10. It reads, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. We saw on Tuesday that this is a prophetic promise. It's a prophetic promise. In other words, it's a promise for the future. In the future, if we get into trouble, in the future, if we find ourselves with our backs against the wall, in the future, if we find ourselves in a tough situation, we can always turn to this promise where God says that he will what? Strengthen us. Thus we need not fear. Thus we need not be dismayed. It's a promise. And we know, based on the little quote that I provided for you in the outline by Lawrence O. Richards, it says, the existence of Israel as a nation and the well-being of the individual depended, and he's talking about the individual Israelite, depended not on military might or physical strength, but on the active power of God exerted on behalf of his people. See, that captures Isaiah 41:10. It is the active power of God that we rely on, we're banking on, we're hoping that God will show up and activate himself on our behalf to protect us and keep us safe from all harm and danger. Yesterday, we looked at the fact that God is a present help, an inexhaustible source of strength for his people. And we did not discount the contribution that our brothers and sisters in Christ make in our life, we know that our brothers and sisters in Christ are indeed a source of support and strength to us. But as we said before, sometimes we're cut off from the saints. Sometimes the saints cannot be there with us when we're in trouble. Sometimes the saints are there with us, and they mean well for us, and they want the best for us, but they don't have the power to pull off what we need because our strength is limited. So we saw yesterday how God is the sole reservoir of present strength because he's omnipresent. Why is he an inexhaustible strength for us in the time of trouble? Because he is all-powerful. So while, yes, we have brothers and sisters who have our back, so to speak, and they're there to support us and they're there to encourage us, we know that what they provide for us is finite in nature. And what we need, you see, when we're attacked by life, or when we're attacked by Satan, the finite cannot match Satan's power or what life throws our way. It just can't. Thus, we need what? The infinite power of God, the infinite love of God to show up to override Satan's attack. So, as much as we appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need them, and we want them to be there for us, we know that God's strength is both omnipresent and inexhaustible. Today, we want to look at the idea, we want to look at the concept that God's people are strengthened when they seek him regularly. Regularly do we need to seek the Lord. Now, let's begin by looking at 1 Chronicles 16:11. 1 Chronicles 16:11, and it reads, "Seek the Lord and seek his strength. Seek his face continually." Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And you're probably saying to yourself, that sounds familiar, and you're absolutely correct, because we did a whole series on this text on manna, and we did that series out of Psalm 105, verse 4, which is the exact rendering as in 1 Chronicles 16:11, which says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." And Chronicles is translated continually. Here in Psalm 105, it's evermore, one and the same. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. And we again call upon your wonderful name in prayer. Why do we call upon your name? Because we desire that you would tabernacle with us right now. We invite you to be with us right now, to be a source of strength to your people as we meet regularly, as we meet daily, as we meet Monday through Sunday. 7 days a week, we're meeting with you, Lord, in some way, in some form, in some fashion, whether we're meeting privately in our private devotions with you, or whether we're meeting as a congregation on the prayer line or in daily manna, or in our activities at night at the church through our different department meetings, or whatever it is that we're doing, Lord, we're meeting with you constantly. We're meeting with you continually. We're meeting with you evermore. Oh, God, bless us, we pray. When we meet, strengthen us. When we meet, empower us. When we meet, charge our batteries, Lord. We need your strength. And we're able to recharge our batteries as we meet with you regularly. This we ask This we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the promise from God is, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee, the prophetic promise, that when you're low on strength or when you need your enemy to be overpowered and you don't have the power to overpower your enemy and the saints around you don't have the power to overpower the enemy, God shows up to overpower your enemy. So, why do we need to meet with God regularly? Well, because I believe that the scripture teaches that God gives us enough strength for that particular day. I had the strength that God gave me when I woke up Monday morning, that strength that I had for Monday was for Monday. And even through Monday, even while I was doing what I had to do on Monday, I found myself being drained. So I turned to the Lord in prayer. I turned to the Lord in his word. And again, I was able to recharge my battery. And then I got up on Tuesday morning and I started to get busy and do what God would have me to do on Tuesday. And at some point in time, I found myself again spiritually drained. And so I turned to the Lord in prayer. And then, of course, on Tuesday night, I met with you all on the prayer line. And boy, did we get to recharge our batteries. And there I was, Wednesday and back at work on Wednesday. So notice, we need to be plugged into the source of power, like an appliance. The vacuum cleaner doesn't work unless it's plugged in to the source of power. Now, I do know that some vacuum cleaners now come with a battery that you can charge the battery on the vacuum cleaner, and then you can detach it from the cord and you can vacuum. But at some point in time, the power in the battery runs out, so then you got to recharge it again. You got to go back to the cord. So it's the same way believers need to be recharged. And the way that God promises to recharge us is by meeting with him, as First Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Now, that word continually is an interesting word because it means regularly. So it doesn't mean daily, but it means regularly. So it's like us. We meet on Sundays. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it admonishes Christians not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. In other words, the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews is encouraging the saints to meet on a weekly basis, to meet regularly. This is why we meet. We make it a top priority to meet on Sunday. Now, some of us may not be able to meet every night of the week or every day of the week, but we do everything we can not to miss Sunday. Because when we meet on Sunday and God meets with us, he has a way of recharging our battery. And how does he do it? Well, he does it through hymnody. Hymnody. What is hymnody? Well, listen, there's a whole theology to sacred music. When you come into the church service, the first thing that you're presented with is hymnody. You're presented with the music of the church, with the songs of the church. And notice how every one of our hymns is just a sermon in song. It's a song that is 100% backed. If you study those hymns, all those hymns has a scripture text that hymn is based on. And so hymnody is based on scripture. And so when Sister Close starts with the organ, as soon as you come into the church and you hear her playing the organ, already the atmosphere is being set up for the saints to be charged of the Lord. And then when we open up our hymnals, when we're directed to go to this hymn and that hymn, that is the beginning process of recharging our spiritual batteries. This is why hymns and church music plays a vital role in the strengthening of the saints. If you notice, I don't start a daily manna without a hymn. Every day when you come on, I start with a hymn and I end with a hymn. Why? Because hymnody is one way of saints recharging their spiritual battery. Now, of course, in many, many, many churches, they have bad music. They have bad hymnody. In fact, they have no hymnody because in many churches, they have outlawed hymns. And if you outlaw hymns, then you have weakened the church. Why? Because, again, my brothers and sisters, hymnody, sacred song, is so vital to the life of the church. And this is why when people stay away on Sunday, they're not having their battery recharged or strengthened by hymnody, songs that are based on scripture, which point to the power, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the love of God towards his people. So notice, when we come to church, like 1 Chronicles 16:11 is suggesting, and Psalm 105:4 is suggesting, when we fail to come to church and sit under good hymnody, sound hymnody, that's what, again, I will tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, I will encourage you to at home just have the radio on playing hymns. Those songs will recharge your faith in God. So sacred song, when God says, I will strengthen you, that's because you are exposed to sacred music. And not just sacred music, but people who know how to play the instruments, people who know the sanctity of sitting behind that instrument and playing for God and knowing the connection that they make between God and the people. See, the musician is that conduit. It is through the musician that the power of God flows from God to the people. Again, this is why, you know, look at Israel. They have a book of 150 hymns. It's vital. So this lesson today has to do with seeking God regularly, seeking him on a weekly basis. Now, here's another scripture, Genesis 28:10. My time is almost up. And I was told that, you know, when an actor has been awarded an Academy Award and he's making his speech and his speech is going a little too long, how in the background they start playing the music in order to rush him or her off the stage. Well, I was told that if I hear music, it means my time's up. And so I don't want to be rushed off the stage. Let me complete this lesson. Genesis 28:10. Now, Jacob's on the run. Jacob is in trouble. Jacob has deceived his father and stolen his brother's birthright, being helped by his mother who helped her son deceive her husband. The mother helped her son deceive the husband, it's a horrible thing to have your wife deceive you and to collude in your deception and also in the robbing of a firstborn son's birthright. So here is Jacob. He's on the run. He's on his way to his uncle Laban's house. And while he's there, God intercepts him. God meets with him. And here in verse number 19, it says, and he, Jacob, called the name of that place Beth-El. But the name of that city was Luz at the first, Beth-El. Well, Jacob, upon sleeping at Luz that evening, received a dream from God. And in the dream, God promised him all these different blessings and all these different protections and all of these different gifts. And when Jacob woke up from his dream, he said, this is definitely the house of God. This is definitely where God resides. This is the gate of heaven. And so he named that place Beth-El. Beth meaning house. El, that's the nickname for, that's the shortened form of Elohim. El means the strong one. Now, when you read the promise, let's read the promise. And it says in Genesis 28:13, and behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein you liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, this is key now. This is God speaking. And behold, Jacob, I am with thee. And notice companionship, spiritual companionship, the ever-present help in the time of trouble. I am with thee, and I will keep thee. And the word keep means to protect. No harm will come to you. Not one hair on your head will be touched, in essence, is what God is saying. I will keep thee in all the places where you go, and I will bring thee again to this land, and I will not leave thee until everything I have done, until I have done everything which I have spoken unto thee. In other words, I will finish, I will complete everything I spoke over your life. I'll be with you every step of the way. Now, Jacob knows in order for all of this to be accomplished, this God must be mighty. He's got to be powerful. He's got to be full of strength because Jacob is in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. And so if God is speaking to him and if God is making all of these promises to him, this God has got to be strong. So this is why he calls the house of God Beth-El, the house of the strong one. El means the strong one. If you look it up in any Hebrew lexicon, El, E-L, means the strong one. The house. So notice, when you go to the house of God, all of those scripture promises are yours and mine. And we're not just going to any house. We are going to the house of the strong one. That when he speaks things to us, when he promises things to us, he is strong enough to make sure they come to pass. Now quickly, because the music is about to be played and they're going to rush me off the stage, even though I have not yet gotten my trophy. They want to rush me off the stage. Let's quickly go to Genesis 35. It's not there in your notes, but you can write that down. Genesis 35. Genesis 35, and let's start at verse 1. This is 20 years later. 20 years later, Jacob has not been to the house of God. He has not sought God regularly. He has failed to seek God regularly. But now in chapter 35, Jacob again finds himself in a heap of trouble. He's in a big mess. And he and his children are about to be what? Killed, exterminated, slaughtered. All right. So it says here in Genesis 35, and God, Elohim, said unto Jacob, behold, arise and go to Beth-El. Come to my house. Come to the house of the strong one and dwell there. Park yourself there. and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled. Remember when you fled 20 years ago? Remember when you were in trouble? When there was a contract out on your life? When your brother was going to do to you what Cain did to Abel? Remember the 20 years ago? The heap of trouble that you were in? And how you fled from the face of Esau, thy brother, who was enraged and had put out contracts on you, had put bounties on you? Then Jacob said unto his household and to all who were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, be cleansed and change your garments. Let us arise, let us go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me everywhere I have gone. And his children, Jacob's children, gave unto him all the strange gods which were in their hands and all of their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak tree that was at Shechem. And they journeyed. They went from Shechem, and they went to Bethel, which was quite a journey, and they traveled. They were on their way to meet with God. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. You see, they were in trouble. Jacob and his children at that moment in time when God spoke to them were about to be exterminated. And when God gave Jacob the marching orders, come to my house, come to the house of the strong one, I will give you an escape, I will make a way for you where there is no way, God put his fear, he put his terror in the hearts of the inhabitants of the surrounding cities, and as a result, they did not touch a hair on Jacob's head. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, the house of the strong one, and all his people were with him. And there he built an altar and called the name of the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. You see, my brothers and sisters, we're always fleeing something. 20 years ago, you were fleeing something, and today, perhaps, you're fleeing something. And the only source of strength that can really cause you to survive your present-day attack is that same source of strength that caused you to survive your previous attack. And that is God, the strong one. So when we go to his house, we're going to the house of the strong one, the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So, praise the Lord, I finished today's lesson without hearing the music that is designed to get me off the stage because I've been long-winded. So don't forget, my dear brothers and sisters, don't forget to tune in tomorrow as we continue with the series. And tomorrow's Friday. It doesn't end tomorrow. It does not end tomorrow. It'll end on Saturday. Remember, I know some of you are, you know, where's the Monday lesson? I already explained. So it'll end on Saturday, and I hope and pray you're enjoying the series because God has promised to you and me that he will strengthen us. God bless you. Every hour I need.
Thank you.